I don't even really have a title. And I don't have an outline or points. I'm going to preach a chapter of the Bible. I'm really nervous about this, but I've read this scripture 100 times, I guess. And every time, somebody says, preach on that, preach on that, preach on that. And I've always avoided it because I'm afraid, you know, I don't know how to go over, and I'm afraid I didn't have enough thoughts on it. But I'm going to do it. Usually I'd preach a youth rally message tonight. But tonight, let's open our Bible to 2 Samuel, chapter 6. 2 Samuel, chapter 6. I'm going to preach tonight. I guess if I had to make it a title, it'd be A Bad Wife. That's the closest I can think to it. You'd get mad if I said a good husband, and you'd get mad if I said a bad wife. You know, you can say, I'm going to preach about a mean man. Everybody, that's right, amen. See, I'm going to preach about a mean woman and women. You know why? Because you've been brainwashed by our society to believe that you get picked on. And you've been brainwashed to believe you're the victim all the time. And the biggest problem you've got, some of you ladies, you always believe you're the victim. Everybody's mean to you. Everybody's down on you. Even God. He told you had to do this. Now, even God is a sexist or a male chauvinist. And the truth is, you're cheating yourself when you don't look at what the Bible said, be a wife. Now, there's a good man here. His name was David. He had a bunch of wives. David had a bunch of them. I counted them one time. I can't remember how many now, but at least 6 or 7, and had a bunch of kids. But he had one really bad one, and her name was Michal. And the Bible said that Saul, picture of the Antichrist, listen to me, gave Michal to David to be a snare unto him. The devil will give you a wife to mess you up if you ain't careful. It's too late now if you're already married. But she was a snare unto him. Look here. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now all I'm going to do tonight, I'm not going to do my normal preaching. I'm going to read a verse and then say a few things about it. Read a verse and say a few things about it. So I'm going to need you to keep your Bible in your lap. Keep it open and go with me through this chapter. Here we go. Let's try this. I'll do the best I can. It says, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. Now stop right there just a second. Let's comment on verse 1. The Bible said that David, the great man here, gathered the people together. Now it takes a special man to be able to gather people together. It takes a man with a call of God on his life. David had a lot of critics and a lot of enemies, but he was the man that God had his hand on. And if a man, I am not saying this because I'm a preacher, if there's a man that you know at work in your community that God has his hand on, if I were you, I'd leave him alone. If I were you, I'd stay out of his way. If you disagree with him, just go the other way. Because all the way through that Bible, when God calls a man to do something, God's going to get that job done one way or the other. And if that man is out of line, God will smack him back in line. But you better not try to straighten him out, or I better not try to straighten him out. I hear a lot of people come to me, a preacher friend of mine not long ago messed up. Somebody said, what do you think about that? I said, I don't think nothing about it. That's between him and God. I ain't in the business of straightening out God's men. Brother, I'm telling you that. And there's some, I've heard people criticize great preachers and all that stuff. You'll notice that I keep pretty quiet unless they're just a flat out heretic. The reason I do is because I'd be scared to go against God's man. Even if I disagree with him, that's his business. He'll answer to God for it. The Bible said that David gathered the people together. Just anybody can't do that. I've had preacher guys come to me and they said, Danny, I don't agree with the way you're doing this and the way you're doing that. And I said, okay, go get you a building and rent it and let's see how many people you can get to come and hear you. Try it. Try it. I had a man tell me one time, he said, man, you preachers got it made. Work one day a week, make all that money. I said, okay, go rent you a building if that's the way to get rich. Let's get you a big crowd. Let's see if it was that easy, everybody'd be doing it. It takes a special calling, and it takes a special... Let's see. I challenge anybody in here. There might be a couple that can, if God's put his hand on you. Count. Go get you a building, put your sign up, and let's see how many people you can come get to hear you for years. Not just two or three Sundays till the excitement runs out. For years and years and years and years. David had a knack for gathering people together. People were drawn toward him. David was a man that people were drawn toward. They were just drawn. Have you ever seen any men? I'm like that sort of preacher. If he's got the goods, I'm drawn toward him. I used to drive all over the place, go to revival meetings, go hear good preach. I'd drive a long way to hear a man of God and have had something from God, wouldn't you? And have many, many times. So the Bible said he gathered them. Then look at verse 2. Now we're going through this whole chapter, so you stay with me. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God. Now, two things I want you to notice in this verse. One thing that made David a great man was he not only was a gatherer, but he went with the people. It said he went with them. A lot of preachers jump up and say, don't do as I do as I say do. But David said, here's what God said do, and I'm going with you. David wasn't too good to go on bus route. David wasn't too good to go down there to battle. I mean, it'd be like now, President Obama, if we're engaged in let's put him on a uniform and send him over there to fight. Amen? I mean, a man can't, that'll never happen, buddy. You better believe that'll never happen. They'd have bulletproof everything around him and everything. But I'm telling you, a man that's a leader is not only the leader, he's willing to get down in the trenches. And I remember years ago when Marion was building that school, I was about to kill myself building that school. And I'm telling you, we worked day and night and built a school and got plans started and had 202 students the first year. That was more than double what any other school had after many, many years, most of them around here. And we had 300 and something the second year and was going to build another building. There wasn't enough room to pull the kids that come in. And I was out there one day and it was pouring the rain and we was going to pour concrete for the footings, and it was all washing in there, and it was about to kill me. And I drove out there that day, and I took my shovel, and it poured in the rain, and I was just shoveling out because I know it was going to quit raining the next day. And the people pulled up and said, the preacher out here in the mud, shoveling mud? I said, that's right, bless God, that's right. Listen, the day that the preacher is too good to get out and get in the mud like everybody else, he done got too big for his britches, amen? He's a preacher ain't no better than nobody else. When it comes to work, when it gets our fingernails dirty, when he's out here cleaning up this bank, I mean, I ain't got no business saying, y'all pray. If I won't pray, I ain't got no business telling you to fast, fine fasting. I ain't got no right to tell you to read the Bible if I don't read the Bible. Bible said David went with them. You know what made David a great man? He was not only a great leader, but he went with them to battle. Now, there was a time on over there when he didn't go to battle, and look what happened to him. He got in trouble several chapters later. But here, the man of God got down and went. There's a lot of preachers. I've heard preachers get up and say, bless God, I'm the man of God around here. I preach. Y'all go out and do the business. Why, he's backslid as a devil. He needs to get to the altar and get his heart right. And David went down. Now, notice in verse 2, it said they brought up the ark of God. Now, the ark of God in the Old Testament was a picture of God's presence. That's what it was, a picture of God's presence. The ark of God. There were three things. Let's do a Bible study. There were three things contained in the ark. This is the ark of the covenant. This is the ark of the covenant. The ark of the covenant. Somebody tell me what the three things are that was contained. They carried it around in the wilderness, and it contained three things. One, two, three. Tell me what they are.
Moses' rod.
One of them. That's one.
Jar of manna. That's it. I don't know if it's a jar. A pot of manna, something like that. That mason jar had done that. It had three things in it. It had Moses' rod, Aaron's rod that budded, picture of the resurrection, showing he chose the tribe of Levi. And it had the Ten Commandments that Moses wrote. You know, the Lost Ark, Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's that movie they thought they're trying to find that thing. And you hear all these people saying it's buried under one of the pyramids and it's buried over there. Dr. Ruckman and them guys, they believe it was raptured and is now in the presence of God in heaven. And it has the Ten Commandments in it. There's reason for believing that. And it's got the rod that budded, and it's got a pot of manna that they ate in the desert. That's what's in the Ark of God. And the Ark of God signified God's presence. When it was there, God's presence was there. When it was gone, God's presence was gone. It signified that. So when you're reading that, don't get it confused. There are three arcs in the Bible. There's this ark containing these three articles. There's the second ark was Moses' mama put him in a little ark and floated him in the bulrushes. And then there's the big one, Noah's ark, that saved Noah and his family that they got saved in. So there's three. Like that one old fella said one time, he didn't know much about the Bible, and he was trying to get him to get saved. He said, "Now you about got me believing in that ark." But he said, "You ain't going to make me believe they carried that thing around the wilderness 30, 40 years. No, he's talking about Noah's ark. That's the other ark they were carrying. Now listen tonight. David, the ark of God was God's presence. Here we go. Look at verse 3. "And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab and was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio," like Ohio, the state, but it's Ahio. Some of you ain't looking. Look at this. "And the sons of Abinadab drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in Gibeah, according to the company of the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark." Verse 5. Here we go. "And David and all the house of Israel played," they played their instruments, not played basketball, they played music, "before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they come to Nathan's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. For the oxen shook it, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God." Some of these nuts going around saying, "God don't kill nobody." That's not true. God killed plenty of people. He killed plenty of people in the Old Testament. He said, "I, the Lord, kill, and I make alive." Sure, God kills people. He killed Uzzah here for putting forth his hand on the ark of God. And that was to show the rest of the people that it was holy and you didn't just touch it just like you touched anything else. Some people say, "Wasn't that hard, sort of harsh doing that?" No, it was to set an example that we didn't just treat the things of God just like they're anything else. And that's another message that won't take time to get into. Verse 8, "Oh, David sort of got scared and he was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah unto this day. And David was afraid of the Lord," that's a good way to be, "that day, and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him, the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household." Keep your Bibles open. This is getting really interesting now. So the ark of God, one man touched it and he died, and David said, buddy, if you're going to start killing people for getting around that thing, I don't want nothing to do with it. Just count me out. So they took the ark and they put it in the house of Obed-Edom. And one day Obed-Edom and his wife was sitting around eating supper, and the son come in and said, "Daddy, look what I got in the mailbox." And it's a check for $12,000 from the IRS. And he said, "Glory to God, look what the Lord's done for us." And the next day, somebody knocked on the door and said, "You got a rare form of a camel out there. We'll give you $50,000 for it." He said, "Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord blessed the household of Obed-Edom because God was in it." You want God to bless your house? Get the presence of God in it. Get rid of your bad movies. Get rid of your dirty magazines. Get rid of anything that's displeasing to the Lord. And say, I want the presence of the Lord in my house. Listen, people, God's in control of stuff like that. He can make your kids, He can get a hold of your kids in their bedroom at night. Don't let your kids' bedroom be the devil and your room be the Lord. Take the devil out of their bedroom. You say, well, they might get mad. Let them get mad. Say, listen, we ain't having the devil in this house. Rip down them faces, them naked women on their walls. And I don't care if you're a movie star. He's supposed to have naked people on your walls. Say amen right there. And the Bible said, the Lord bless the household of Obed-Edom. Boy, I want the Lord to bless my household. I want His hand to be upon my house. God can bless your household. I mean, His kids stayed healthy. His cows reproduced. His crops, His garden come up good. I'm just reading between the lines here. His kids got called to preach. His daughter sung a special in the choir. His boy become a missionary. The Lord bless the household of Obed-Edom. Let God bless your household. All right? Let's move along here tonight. Let's see what happened. When David found that out, he wanted that thing at his house. And I do too. Verse 12, and it's told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. David said, well, in that case, he went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they had bare the ark of the Lord and had gone six paces, he offered oxen and fatlings. Now look at this famous verse of Scripture, verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. And the Lord, and David, look at it, people, and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now, when David brought the ark of the Lord, he said, God bless the house of Obed-Edom. God, his kids got called preach. His daughter's a missionary. She's got there. I mean, they got new cars. God just blessed them. Did you know God can bless your house? Amen. He can bless your paycheck. He can keep you healthy. He can keep your car running. God bless the house of Obed-Edom. David said, I want that on my house. I don't know about you tonight, but I want that on my house. I want God's blessings on my house. When them three girls over there tonight, when they was little, I prayed all their life before they was born. God bless our home. God bless our home. And God did bless our home. We've had battles. We've had the devil try to destroy it many, many times. But God blessed our home. God blessed our home, buddy. God blessed our home. I stand here tonight. I mean, God's been good to me. That house up there, it ain't a mansion. But it's a lot better than I deserve. And it's plenty good enough for me. I don't drive a brand new car. But it's plenty nice enough for me. The Lord's blessed the house of Brother Danny. The Lord's blessed the house of Brother Danny. I might lose everything I got tonight, but I could go home saying, the Lord bless my house. Can you say that? I'm telling you tonight, there's no better thing in this world than to have the blessing of God on your home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you tonight, he did. And you know what? David got to thinking about it, and the Bible said David danced before the Lord with all his might. Now some fool out there in California and his contemporary churches have tried to justify their whatever them things they do into that by using that scripture right there. And they get in there and they say, the Lord is holy. Let all... David didn't do that. David, that ain't with all your might. Put that thing up. I know somebody videoing me. This better not wind up on Nosebook. They go around there and they say, they come out now, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, come on. David did not. That is not with all your might. I mean, David in there and said, the Lord's been good. Yeah. I'm not a dancer. I never have been a dancer. I like to play the music. You can do the dancing. I never was a dancer. I never could dance. My sister, she could do every dance that come out of Hollywood. I never could. I never was a dancer. Didn't want to be. But, I mean, he didn't do that, all that stupid stuff like that. I mean, imagine David bringing the Ark of God to his house, you know, and bringing it up there and doing some, you know, some
African, some kind of jazz, New Orleans, kind of New York City, move like that. No way. No way. David didn't, it wasn't a sensual dance. It wasn't, he was girded with a linen ephod. And brother, you say, well, what did he do, brother Danny? I don't know. I don't know, but I believe, you tell me, what did David, what kind of dance did David? I believe it was something like, glory to God. Woo! Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, before the Lord with all of his might. Amen. That's offensive to that crowd that believes in the other kind. Amen. And look at verse number 16. Here we go, ladies. Here we go. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window. She's at home. She didn't go with him. She didn't go with him to get the ark of God. She needed her sleep. She slept in on Saturdays. She wouldn't go on bus route with David. She stayed in the bed, looked out the window, and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Now, the first thing we know about a sorry wife is she didn't go with her husband where he wanted to go and needed to go, and she looked out the window, and the next thing you know, she despised him in her heart. She'd been sitting there watching TV all morning or listening to 99.9. Or 99.9 will get you in the wrong spirit to be the kind of wife that God wants you to be. Or husband either. We just happens to be a woman in this scripture. And husband either. Man, listen to that. He'd be full of the devil too. Ain't no wonder now you can't get along with nobody if you're full of the world and 99.9. She'd been up that morning watching all the stuff on TV and looked out there and there's David shouting. And the bad thing about it, there's a bunch of women around there and men, and she despised him. He makes me sick. See, she knew his faults. And she knew that David wasn't perfect. And she despised him in her heart. And she's also a picture of a church that don't believe in old-fashioned shouting and making fun of a church that does. Watch what happens. She despised him in her heart. Ladies, beware of any spirit that comes on you that makes you despise your husband, especially when he's doing something for God. I had a lady. I know her. I won't name names. I knew a girl. Her husband got called a priest, and he's one of the best soul winners I ever met in my life. Absolutely on fire. And him and her fussed and argued all the time. This has been years ago. And in Marion, there's on the side of the street, and they would scream and wind up cussing at each other and everything. And that boy tried. And then she's a saved woman. I believe she loved the Lord. But she just had this attitude that anybody's around her going to get in a fight. If you stayed around her long enough, you're going to get in a fight. You ever met people like that? They just fight with everybody around them. They're going to get in a fight. I don't care who they're around. Sooner or later, it's going to be a fight. And that's the way she was. And they got in a big argument out there. And he lost it. Just a young man. He wasn't about 20 years old. He'd been on drugs. And he got backslidden around and threw her down on the ground like that and was holding her down like that. And she looked out at the traffic going by and she said, "Hey, everybody, look at the Reverend so," and called his name. That woman's full of demons, buddy. You say, well, he shouldn't. That's right. He shouldn't have done it. But listen, girls, when you start blaspheming the Lord's work to try to hurt a man, you done stepped on a level of sin. You say, well, what happened to that woman? She died of cancer not long after that. He's still alive. That's 35 years ago. She died of cancer. She said, "Everybody look at the Reverend." That's what Michal did to her husband. And it goes for all of us in here. When a man is doing something for God, you better keep your mouth off of him. Or a woman. I'm not just saying that, man. Or a woman. If your wife wants to go on bus route and you say, only reason you want to go to get out there and flirt, you're on dangerous ground, big boy. If your husband wants to do something for God, say,
why don't you stay around here? We need work done around the house. You're getting on dangerous ground, girl. You've got a wife or a husband that wants to do something for God. You better watch your mouth and lay off of them. Just because you're backslid, you're trying to pull them down too. That's what Michael's problem was. She despised him. Despised him. Verse 17, and they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Verse 18, and as soon as David made an end of offering, he blessed the people. David blessed the people in the name of the Lord. She was over there full of the devil, wondering why her husband wouldn't come home and hold her while she watched soap operas. And David was out there blessing the people. Amen. He was out there blessing the people of God. She's sitting down and saying, he's not meeting my needs. Your needs might be the Lord knock your brains out. And that'll be up to the Lord. And he does. Look at here. Verse 19. And he dealt, watch this, among all the people, even the whole multitude of Israel. Now I want you to notice this, the middle of verse 19. As well to the women as men. So you couldn't accuse him of flirting. To everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people devoted everyone else. She accused him of flirting. You're just down there flirting with them girls. He said, look, lady, I give the men the flesh and bread. I give the women. I've heard a lot of people tell me, say, my wife's just down there flirting. The only reason she wants to go on bus route so she can flirt. All that. Here's the way you know if a person's flirting. They do the men and the women the same way. Now listen, watch. If we go around here in fellowship, all right, I'm a man. If we go around here in fellowship, and I say, hey, how you doing, fan? Hey, how you doing there, big boy? How you doing there, Sister Lou? How you doing there, amen, sister? How you, Sister Desi? All right. I done the boys and the girls the same way. Now, if a man does this, hey, Miss Desi, you looking good today. Hey, Courtney, I wish you wasn't getting married. Hey, Shelly, I'm glad your husband's way over there. There's your flirt. See, I walked right by the boys. I used to know a guy like that. I knew a guy like that, and he was a preacher. And when we'd have fellowship, he'd always have a crowd of girls right around him. Somebody about to have a heart attack right there. Damn. Okay. And every time he'd always have, there's the guy. You got to watch out for the guy who will never compliment his wife, but's always around the women of church telling them how good they look and shaking their hand. There's the guy you got to watch out for. Now, if he's friendly to everybody, fine. But a real flirt just goes to the women and bypasses the men, especially the same ones every service. Oh, it's getting quiet in here tonight. Tell you the truth, if there's a man and woman here, here's the way I do it. I've learned to do this over the years. Man, woman here, and they're visiting, I shake the man's hand and say, how are y'all? And I run and walk off. Suddenly I got on, oh boy, that sure is good to hang out to the woman. That's dangerous. Be careful, especially in this day and time, how you behave yourself around the opposite sex. And especially you ladies, if you're halfway pretty. Some of you are almost halfway. But some of you ain't got a thing to worry about. Be as friendly as you want to be. One of the blessings of being ugly, you don't get accused of flirting. But some of you, you got to be careful. If you smile at a man, they think, oh. See, he's done been watching all that filth last night on TV, and he thinks you want him. But David's wife, Michal, she looked at David and she said, oh, I know what you're doing. You're just down there. Let's read it. Let's get on down here. Look at verse number 20. Then David returned to bless his household. So David had a good service at church. He had a great time. And when he went home, his wife jumped all over him. Right after church. How many times you seen that happen? Right after a good service, she takes a fit and gets full of the devil. Or he takes a fit. Then David returned to bless his house. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, mocking him, how glorious was the king of Israel today. who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids, his servant. She didn't even mention the men. He was out there flirting. As one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. Boy, how'd you like to come home to that? Been out there doing something for the Lord, got the power of God in, fed the men, fed the women, blessed everybody, and as soon as you walk in, she says, "Well, you was really something out there. I seen you out there dancing with those women." And accuse you, and accuse you, and accuse you. Satan was speaking through her. The devil's speaking through her. Now, if you'd have went up and said, "Michael, the devil's speaking through her." "Oh, shut up, you're just down on women." The devil was speaking through her. David wasn't out there flirting. Look here what he said in the next verse. "And David said unto Michael, 'I'm so sorry, honey. Please forgive me. I'll never do it again if you'll be nice.'" No, that's 2014. This was when men were men and women were glad they was. Amen? "David said unto Michael, 'Let me tell you something, girl. It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler of the people over the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord.'" Now look, before we read that next verse, he said, "Look, girl, you done stepped on dangerous ground. If you don't like what I'm wearing, I'll change. If you don't like the way I do, I'll clean up the house. If you don't like the way I mow the yard, that's fine. But when you start telling me I can't worship God, God got a hold of me before your father did. For I ever knew you. He chose me and put me in the ministry. And it ain't none of your business how I worship God." He didn't say, "Well, honey, we'll change churches if it bothers you." That's what they do nowadays. We're living in a time when women absolutely dominate their men. And if they can't, they say, "He's controlling." And they all, it's like when a person says, "I don't believe the preacher's supposed to run the church and be a dictator." You know why they say that? Because they won't run it. When a woman says, "He's too controlling," it's because she wants to be.
Yep, preach
it. Now listen to me. You listen, I'm teaching you the Bible tonight, and I'm teaching something that'll help you. Listen here. David said, "Therefore will I play before the Lord." Verse 22. He said, "Listen, just since you said that, I'll go shout more next Sunday. And I will be yet more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight. And of the maidservants as which thou spoken of them shall I be had in honor." What he basically saying was, them girls that you're jealous of, at least they respect me, and they honor God, and they believe what I'm preaching. That's what he's saying to her. "You're so jealous of them, I guess because you're under conviction because they're right with God and you ain't." She said, "Well, you ain't got no business going to that revival with all them girls." He said, "It wasn't girls. It was men and women. We treated them all alright. You should have went with us instead of laying in the bed." Look at verse 23 and I'm through. "Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death." Her punishment? She was never able to have a child. Now you can read that two ways. Either God closed up her womb where she couldn't, or David was a sick cover, he wouldn't have nothing to do with her and she couldn't. That's probably what it was. He had six more. He didn't have to fool her. Be flat out, be honest about it. Some people get nervous when you start telling them, but that's what it was in the Bible, ain't that right, brother? It's in the book. That's why when you get to the New Testament, it said the bishop must be the husband of one wife. Pastor can only be married to one woman. They could have a bunch of them back then. And the Lord, matter of fact, the Lord never said nothing to David having a bunch of wives until he got another man's wife. Then that's where God got on him. That's the Bible. You won't hear that in most churches because preachers are scared to say stuff like that. I'm telling you, I ain't scared to say nothing that's in there. Jawbone and ass, it's in there. Him that pisseth against the wall, it's in there.
That's right.
You got a problem with that? You got a dirty mind. God's right, you're wrong. You say, why does it say stuff like that? It's talking about boys. Duh, girls can't do that. Take a genius to figure that out. We ain't scared of nothing with Bible preaching. That's what this church is known for. I can't believe some of y'all said, I can't believe it. It's in your Bible. It's in your Bible if you got the right one. Well, old Michael, she sat right there and watched all them young maidens she didn't like come in with their babies and hugging them and kissing them. And she sat right there and grew a grouchy old maid. That word ain't in the Bible. But it's close. I tell you what's in the Bible, a perverse and rebellious woman. That word's in the Living Bible. And you know what? She never did get nowhere. You'll never get nowhere with a rebellious spirit. If you got a mean, backslid husband, my advice, pray and fast for him, and pray and fast for him, and pray and fast for him, because the more you fuss at him, the worse he's going to get. You ain't going to change a man by fussing at him. You pray for him and God will get a hold of him. The more you fuss, the meaner he'll get. You know what? Michael was a snare unto David. If you're a married woman here tonight, make up your mind. I'm not going to be a snare to my husband. I'm going to be a blessing to him. Is that bad? Can't blame him for that one, sister. It was Carrie. Was that you? You're in church. Was that you? Gage. Should have stayed up all night last night. All right. We're having fun now, ain't we? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed.